maybe some of you have forgiven, but you feel that a year ago or 6 months ago or 2 years ago you forgave someone, but after you forgave them, it seems like those same feelings crept back into your heart.
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Straight Talk Radio. We are so excited here to serve you the Word of God. My name is Joshua Halleck, and I'm in the studio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago, Pastor Mark Job. Pastor Mark, as you take us through this series called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation, you're starting a new message today called Release. And I really believe that this message could be a life-changing moment for somebody listening today. You're going to be dealing with one of the most heaviest and relevant topics there is, the issue of forgiveness.
Absolutely. I'm trying to answer this question. How do I maintain forgiveness when my hurt is still there?
Mm-hmm.
See, people make the assumption that if I forgive, the hurt won't be there. But how do you release someone when you still feel the pain of the hurt? Or it pops up often. And so a lot of people struggle with that. How do I not only forgive, but stay in that place of forgiveness? And I believe that unforgiveness that leads to bitterness or resentment is one of the biggest contributors to isolation and the breakdown of families, relationships, and churches that I know of.
That's so relevant. And it's easy to talk about forgiving, having to forgive somebody that's not around you. But when somebody is in your life, when they're in your marriage, when they're in your home, when they're in your family, and you have to maintain a relationship, without this, there's just no way to really connect.
So we're going to look at what it means to biblically forgive someone. We misinterpret what forgiveness means. Some people think, well, forgiveness is just saying it doesn't really matter. You minimize it. Don't bring it up again. But what is biblical forgiveness, and how do you stay in a place where you can experience the forgiveness of God as you flow in forgiveness towards other people? Man,
thank you, Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark's going to help us not just sweep it under the carpet, but to really release. This is Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. Release. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there now.
We're in a series entitled Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. You could be crowded and yet alone. You could be walking downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue, rubbing shoulders with people, trying to get through the sidewalk, complaining about how crowded it is, especially during the summertime with all the tourists. Yet in the middle of all the hustle bustle, in the middle of all the noise and people and not being able to find a parking space, you could be literally lonely and isolated, although you're surrounded by people. I believe that God has called us to community and that healthy people are connected people. I believe in a thing called the community of faith. And you cannot be a healthy follower of Jesus Christ if you're disconnected from the people around you. The healthy people are connected people. People that are building relationships, growing with one another, and learning how to live in community and have healthy relationships with the people around them. And today I want to talk to you about something that helps tear down the walls that keeps us isolated, and it's forgiveness. I heard just this past week about a minister that was preaching in a church, and there was a little old lady in her 80s in the front row. And he was asking a question. He said, "How many of you have had to forgive enemies in the past? You've had enemies and you've had to forgive them." And about 70% of the crowd raised their hand. He said, "Come on, be honest with me. How many of you have had to forgive enemies recently?" And then almost all of them raised their hands, except this little old lady that was in the front. And he said, "Hey, sister, you don't have any enemies to forgive. There's no one in your life that you have to forgive." And she just smiled and nodded her head like that. He said, "Come on stage now. You're 89 years old, and tell us, how can you be 89 and have no enemies in your life that you have to forgive?" He was expecting some profound insight, and she simply said, "I outlived them all." So this morning, if you're younger and you still haven't outlived all your enemies and all the people that have hurt you in life, well, this message is for you, because I'm sure that every person in this auditorium, at one time or another, there's people that we have to forgive. It's not when we, it's not if we get hurt, it's when we get hurt. It's not if someone's going to do something bad to us, it's when someone's going to do something bad to us. There's not a person in this place that hasn't been offended, hurt, by someone in their life, probably this week or last week, or at least within the last month, that kind of thing has happened to you. So I want to talk to you about what God has to say about forgiveness, because there's a lot of misconception, I believe, about the idea of forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers, and he says this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander to be put away from you, along with all malice." Verse 32. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted," here it goes, "forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." He's talking about anger and bitterness and wrath. And in essence, he says the antidote to anger, bitterness, and wrath is forgiveness. What happens when you don't forgive people is that walls are built up relationally. There may be a marriage here today that, although you live under the same roof and although you share the same bed, maybe it's been a long time since there's been oneness in your heart because one of you got hurt or offended by the other. And instead of really dealing with the issue, you simply swept it under the rug. And although you feel like it's you've dealt with the issue, you really haven't. There's bitterness on one side or the other. So therefore, you feel like something's wrong with your marriage. You can't put your finger on it. But maybe, just maybe, it's because one or the other of you has not yet forgiven your spouse. Maybe some of you have forgiven, but you feel that a year ago or 6 months ago or 2 years ago you forgave someone, but after you forgave them, it seems like those same feelings crept back into your heart. You said, "I forgave them, I released them, I said, okay, it's over, I'm not going to hold them anymore in debtor's prison," but you woke up a few months later, and maybe you saw them again, or maybe they said something again, or maybe some of the consequences of what happened to you surfaced again, and you feel the same bitterness, the same anger starting to raise in your heart again, and you say, "I thought I forgave them, but maybe I haven't really forgiven them because I feel the same kind of anger and resentment in my heart. So I'm not sure, did I forgive them or did I not forgive them?" How many of you that has happened to you? You forgive someone, and then a little bit down the road, it seems like the same anger, same bitterness pops up again. Because what you need to understand is that forgiveness is not just a one-time event. Forgiveness is a process. Now, I want to speak specifically to you today about how to maintain forgiveness when my heart, when my hurt is still there. How do you maintain forgiveness? How do you keep your forgiveness when you still feel the pain of what's been done to you? And I realize, having said this, that some of you have just come out of very painful things. Maybe you went through a divorce a year ago, and it was a nasty, ugly divorce in which you were very hurt, and maybe your kids were the pawns right in between it. Maybe someone at your job gossiped, lied against you, did something to you that you're still recovering from. Maybe you had a father that abandoned you when you were 12 years old and never saw from him at all, and then he tries to introduce himself into your life when you're 30 years old, and you say, "I want to have nothing to do with this man. You weren't there when I needed you. Why should I talk to you now?" Maybe you have an uncle that sexually molested you when you were 7 or 8 years old. No one's ever known about it. You confronted him when you were older. He denied it. And there's this anger and bitterness against him. Maybe you've been involved in a marriage and your marriage hasn't been the best marriage. Maybe your spouse was unfaithful to you and you found out about it. Maybe both of you have been unfaithful to each other. And there's the resentment or bitterness right there in your life. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons that we get hurt in our life. But I want you to know this, that forgiveness is not necessarily for the person that's offended you, but forgiveness is necessary for your health and well-being. Are you tracking with me? Sometimes we think, well, the other person doesn't deserve to be forgiven because maybe they haven't repented or maybe they haven't acknowledged what they did wrong. But I want you to understand that forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you and your relationship with God. It has nothing to do with that other person. It has to do with you releasing that other person in your heart. Because the person that suffers the most because of your unforgiveness is not that person that offended you, but it's you that suffer the most by living with unforgiveness. That's huge. So, how do I maintain forgiveness when I still hurt in my heart? I'm going to give you four principles this morning. I want you to write these down if you're taking notes or remember these, because these are life-changing principles that literally can alter the course of your life if you put them into practice. If we're going to forgive the way that God forgives, the first thing that we need to do if we're going to maintain our forgiveness is we need to make a choice not to bring to mind the offense of the forgiven person. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the second part of the verse. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. God is speaking about us. He forgives our wickedness and he says, and then I choose not to remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. How many of you have ever heard the expression forgiving and forgetting? And how many of you have ever said, hey, I'll forgive, but I won't forget? Okay, how many of you have, some of you have used that. And here's the thing. You say, well, do I need to forgive and forget? Is it biblical to forgive and forget? Let me explain that for a second, because I believe it's a bit of a misnomer. I don't believe that you can forgive and forget. Because forgetting is something that happens to you.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Release, which is from our current series called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, and his message is called Release.
You can't forget something on purpose, because the more you try to forget it, the more you remember it. You can't just erase memories unless you have amnesia. Or you're getting a little old and things start to slip a little bit and you start forgetting things. And some of you are saying, well, maybe when I get old, I'll be able to forget what happened to you. But right now, I remember it very clearly. So when you say, Pastor, forget, or don't remember, I can't do that because I remember it as though it happened to me yesterday. I'm trying to forgive that person, but every time I see that person, it reminds me of what they did to me. Or it reminds me of the money they owe to me. Or it reminds me of how they cheated on me. Or it reminds me of the words they said about me. So I'm trying to forget, but I can't. Well, let me relieve you of that. Don't try to forget anymore, because you can't. The Bible says that God, it never says that God forgets our sin. What it says is it says that God doesn't remember our sin. Now, what's the difference between not remembering our sin and forgetting? Forgetting is something passive. It's something that happens to you when your memory lapses. Choosing not to remember is an act of the will. Let me explain it this way. Let's say that your memory is like a big filing cabinet. And you have all your childhood memories in this drawer. You open it up and remember all the childhood things. The day you went to the ballpark, the day you graduated, you close that. You have all your marriage memories here, your high school memories, close that. You have all the other memories here, you close that. So you have all your memories stacked there, kind of like a filing system. And when you want to remember something, you get together with some old friends and you're just talking about your high school days and how you what you did and your activities. And you pull out that filing system. Have you ever done that? Ran into an old high school buddy and then you start talking about the good old days. And what you did and how you skipped classes and who was dating who and the things you did, the crazy things, the music you listened to and whatever happened to so-and-so. And you pull out that file and you start going through it and you laugh and it's a fun file and you close it. Well, with our hurts, it's the same thing. Some of you, you're married and when you get into a fight, the husband starts losing. And so he says, hold on a second. You go back to that file, and 2 years back, you pull out that file, you review it a little bit, and say, you know, 2 years ago, I remember when you did this to me and that to me and that to me, and you did this and that and the other. And if she has a good answer, you go back to your file and say, oh, okay, 10 years ago when we were dating, I remember that you did this and that and the other. And we pull out our filing system, we look over, we keep track of it, and we use that as ammunition in our fighting. Hey, don't act like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. No, I know. I know you know what I'm talking about. Our memories are like file systems. We pull them out and we review them. Now, what God is saying to us, and have you ever noticed how it seems like women have a better memory than men do when it comes to conversations? I'll talk to husbands say, their wives will say, you said this and I said this and they said that and we said this. And do you remember that conversation? And the husband will say, no. You need to ask like, hey, do you remember the car we were driving? Oh yeah, I remember that car. You don't remember the conversation, but he remembers the car. But what God is telling you to do is that when you forgive someone for something that happened in the past, God is saying that you take that filing cabinet of your memory and that you close it and that you lock it and that you put a sign on the outside that says, do not touch. And if you've already forgiven that person for something they did to you, if you're in the middle of a fight and you're tempted to go back to what's happened in the past, you go to that filing cabinet, you're about to open it, and you say, oh yeah, I forgave them. You are not allowed to go back in that file, review it again, rehearse it again, and bring it against them. What God says he does, God doesn't have amnesia. God doesn't forget anything, but God chooses not to remember. He doesn't go to that file. He doesn't pull it up. He doesn't bring an accusation against you. In fact, God says that he has thrown your sins as far as the east is from the west. You know how far the east is from the west? Infinity. And God has thrown your sins away from him, an infinity away from him, because once he has forgiven you, he never goes back to your past to accuse you about your present. And when the Bible talks about not remembering, you cannot forget, but you can choose not to remember. You see, a lot of us, what we do is we dwell on our hurt. We hang out in Hurtsville. We walk down the streets of name-calling, of Hurtsville, of what you did, of what you didn't do. And we go out and we hang out there and we get into the self-pity party. And you did all this to me. And the longer you hang out in Hurtsville, the angrier you get. And God says if you have forgiven, you're not allowed to go there and you're not allowed to rehearse what happens to you. So, number one, if you're going to continue to maintain your forgiveness, you need to determine in your heart that I make a choice not to remember those things that I've already forgiven. That means that once you've forgiven them, listen, they're off limits. You do not bring them up again. You don't rehearse them. You don't think about them. You don't bring them up because they are forgiven. I love what Clara Barton said. She was the founder of the American Red Cross. And one day she was reminded by one of her coworkers about a vicious deed that someone had done to her years ago. And she acted as if she didn't even remember the deed. And her friend said to her, "Now come on, don't you remember what happened?" And she said, "I distinctly remember forgetting it." I like that. I distinctly remember forgetting it. I remember choosing not to remember it. Second thing, I'm talking about how to maintain your forgiveness. When painful thoughts do come to mind, you need to learn to redirect your thinking. How many of you know that oftentimes there are things in your life that trigger a painful thought or memory? Maybe you think you've forgiven your mother and you say, "All right, you know, my mom was really critical and she got on my case. I never felt like I could measure up to her, but I've forgiven her." You have a powerful service. You come to the altar. You say, "Mom, you're forgiven." You open up your hand. You release her and you feel like I've forgiven her. And you're doing pretty good for a while. Then you go to a family gathering and you're washing dishes at a family gathering after the barbecue, and you're washing some dishes, and your mom leans over to you and says, "Honey, make sure you get the bottom of the cup. You know, I think you forgot that." And then suddenly all those critical words, like, "You never measure up, never done things right," it's a flashback. It's like, "Mom, you're still telling me I'm 45 years old and you're still telling me how to wash the dishes?" "Well, honey, I'm not trying to say anything, but I know you're used to a dishwasher, and you know, this is, you got to wash my hand, make sure you get all the stuff at the bottom of the cup." And boom. And suddenly, a little thing about washing dishes becomes a major volcano. You know why? Because although you have forgiven, there's trigger points that cause hurt and pain in your life, because it brings back all the memories of all the accusations, of all the struggle that you had before. The only way of being able to overcome that is that when hurtful memories come your way, you have to determine to redirect your thinking. Let me say this about thinking. Some of us think that we cannot control our thinking. Some of us think that we are victims of our thoughts, that you can't control what you think. But I'm here to tell you that I believe that you have the power to control what you think. You do not have the power to control what flashes in your mind, but you have the power to control where you choose to allow your mind to dwell. Are you tracking with me? You see, you cannot control what flashes through your mind, what thoughts flash through your mind. But you can control what thoughts you choose to dwell on over a period of time. I talk to men sometimes, they try to convince me that they have no control over lustful thinking. And they say, "Pastor, I just can't control it. You know, it just flashes in my mind. I have no control over it." And I want to say, well, yes and no. You have no control over the thought that flashes in your mind. You're driving down the expressway and there's a billboard of a woman that's scantily clad, and a flash goes through your mind. And maybe you can't control the thought that flashes through your mind, but you can control the second look, the second thought, and whether your mind chooses to dwell there. Hello. You have the ability to determine where you park your mind's car, so to speak. And a lot of people act like their thoughts control them. And I want to say, a biblical understanding of this is that you determine where your thoughts go. In fact, I love what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's talking about anxiety and anxious thinking. And after the Apostle Paul talks to the Philippians believers about their anxious thinking, in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, listen, think about these things." Whatever your mind dwells on the most is who you start becoming the most. If your mind is constantly dwelling on the negative, then you will become a negative individual. If your mind is constantly dwelling on how people have wronged you, then you will become a person, you will become a victim. And you will live in the valley of self-pity. If you're constantly thinking about how the world is going to end, and I run into people like that, they're gathering bottles of water, getting their generators ready, talking about the end of the world all the time, then you will become an apocalyptic, end of the year, fearful individual if you're always thinking of doomsday.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in the first half of his message called Release, which is from his current series called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just visit PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find more messages that can help you with your spiritual walk. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, you can contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving churches around Chicagoland. Check us out at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk and tell a friend about our program. That's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.